289, Blue Hymnal.
I have a Savior who's bleeding.
Greet you this morning in the name of Jesus Christ. Peace, grace be with you. Amen. Beautiful way to start this morning service. Have thine own way, Lord. That is my prayer for myself and each one who attends. I welcome each one who has tuned in by live stream this morning. And even though distance and miles separates us, we can be united in spirit and in love. I thank you for attending. May it be a time of growing in the Lord. May it be a time of searching our own hearts and seeing where we're at. A time of just acknowledging where, yes, sometimes we err from the way. And so this morning's message, I've entitled it, A Life of Separation. A Life of Separation. But before we move on, let us just bow for a word of prayer. Our gracious God, Father in heaven, this morning, we come to the throne room of grace with thanksgiving in our hearts. Lord, you've blessed us with another beautiful day. You've kept us through this night. You've given us strength, extended grace to us this morning. And Father, as we give of ourselves so that you might have your way, help us, Lord, to be molded and shaped to the image of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, who has left us some beautiful illustrations of what it should look like to be a child of God. And Father, this morning we pray that this worship service, the singing and the music and the message would bring honor to your holy name. Father, we thank you for this opportunity, and we pray that your spirit would have free course. In the name of Jesus, amen. When we think of a life of separation, there's many things that come to mind. But we read back in the Old Testament where Almighty God entered into a spiritual marriage relationship with his bride, the nation of Israel. And as the story unfolds, we find it was marred, that relationship was marred by unfaithfulness and betrayal. And when we read in the book of Judges especially, we find that God had promised the children that beautiful land of Canaan. And they were to go in and to purify it and to cleanse it and to drive out the ungodly nations. And so they knew what they were to do, but what did they do? Instead of driving them out, they just slowly adapted to that lifestyle, those sinful practices, and took part of defiling God's holy land. We want to think about that a little bit today, because this is an age-old problem that we are facing today. God, having purchased us with the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ, to be the holy temple of God, and sometimes we find ourselves much in that same situation. The flesh working through the human nature cannot love God. There needs to be a spirit of God within us. And so that takes us to the book of 2 Corinthians, if you have your Bibles with you. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 through 18. And it goes like this, where Paul is speaking to the church in Corinth. And he says, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and my daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." The Apostle Paul is writing to the Corinthian believers a letter of admonition, a letter of encouragement, and he's bringing up some things that need to be addressed. I try to understand Paul's heart when he did this. He had planted this church, if you will, established it together with the new believers in Christ on his first journey. And now he's writing a letter. He's heard what was going on in the new church. And we might say that he's just pouring out his heart. And he says in verse 14, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness?" This is his second letter to the Corinthian church, and how they would accept that, or even receive the message that he was going to deal with, the message that the Lord had put on his heart. Because Paul had heard what was going on, and Paul was saddened. He was disturbed by what he heard from there. And we need to understand that this congregation was a new congregation, a new assembly, and we might say that they were somewhat immature, and not meaning in a bad way, but were not rooted and grounded solid enough that they could carry on in their own. And there were some serious problems that were fermenting, that were coming up. Problems of worldliness and doctrinal defections and internal disputes, and they were supposed to be separated from that pagan culture that they were in. And Paul really got pretty serious with the matter, and in verse 11 he says of chapter 6, he says, "O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you, our heart is enlarged." What Paul is saying, we need to address some things. We got to get down to some issues. And he says, our heart is enlarged. In other words, that his heart would increase in capacity. so that he could be, sympathize with those people, and that he would have an understanding. What got you to this point? Like, what's happening? Why are you just starting to go back to where you were? And he says in verse 12, ye are not straitened in us, but ye are straitened in your own bowels. And so we might say that he is dodging it right on. And he's facing the problem. And why was it so heavy on Paul's heart? Because these brothers and sisters in Corinth were Paul's spiritual brothers and sisters. They were his family. And as a leader of the congregation, he was concerned about that. And he says, O ye Corinthians. He draws it out by name. They had drifted from the foundational truth. And he brings out the two opposing forces that they were facing, that are real in this world today. And one is a spirit of truth, and one is a spirit of error. And so we see that here we have two things that they were dealing with. And today we look back and we say it was the Corinthians. It was them, and it was Paul dealing with it. But brothers and sisters in the Lord, it's real. It's today. It's you and me. And we have a battle on our hand. It's a spiritual battle. It's important that we put our spiritual warfare on. And he says in verse 14, and what communion hath light with darkness? We know that after the decision or the choice, if you will, that Adam and Eve made, this world is in spiritual darkness. Spiritual darkness is around us. That's the natural condition of this universe. And what it does is it speaks to us this morning. And how different is it today than it was back in those days? I just want to say this, friends. We cannot avoid the miseries that come with trying to walk on both sides of the fence. Life is miserable. We can't enjoy life. And that's what God intended. That's what God wanted for us to enjoy life. Jesus says, I came to give you life and that you might have it abundantly. And that simply means setting a guide, setting a line and walking in the light of Jesus Christ. And I need to do that for myself personally, and each one of us does. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light in the world. Walk as children of light. That doesn't exclude any of us. We're all in this together. We were in darkness. And I trust that we can all say and agree with what Paul says. You were there. We're not there now. I trust that we can be the children of light. But I would ask this question. Would it be fair to say that sometimes our actions condemn us? We proclaim to be the children of light, but how about during the week? And I'm not pointing the finger at anybody, but just by myself, looking at myself. So what does that look like? It is important to continually be cleansed from the impurities of this ungodly culture so that we may become holy and acceptable before God. And to understand that our best efforts, our best attempts can never produce a righteousness that is sufficient for salvation. We can't do it. It's Jesus Christ and nothing else. Our good works will not do it. following the golden rule, if you will, just isn't enough. We need to follow Jesus. We need to walk in the light. And as believers, and this was the issue with the Corinthians, they claimed to be believers, and I trust that they had a good beginning, they had a good start. Paul was there, and he had established them, and he had walked together with them in the power of God's strength, and they had drifted. They had drifted, and Paul is sending a letter, knowing that he would pay them a visit, and what that visit would be, he could only imagine. Might be a hostile visitation, or would they receive it with grace in their hearts? In Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, we read Paul addressing the Colossian church, and he says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth." What this speaks to us is that we need to part ways from our old path, our old habits, values, and maybe even some of our interests. Because those are the strongholds that keep us in bondage. And when we talk about strongholds, we find that strongholds can be a hidden thing because it is the work of the enemy. Every believer has the right to use the authority of Jesus' name to bind and take authority over Satan's activities. And that is a privilege that we have as believers, that we can go in the name of Jesus and we can be victorious over the enemy. We can conquer those things that so often bring us down. But let's take note what Jesus says in Mark chapter 3, verse 27. Jesus says here, "No man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods." And then he says, "Except he will first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house." I want us to think about that a little bit. When we do not give way to the enemy, and we face the enemy head on in the name of Jesus, he has to flee. There's no open door for him to enter in and bring us down. But when we open the door, he will come, and he will, in a sly way, bring us down, causing us to be discouraged and disheartened in our journey of faith. The Bible says Satan is the prince of darkness. The prince of darkness. He works in so many unseen things. And he uses people to do that. But we have a much greater hope, because the Bible also says Jesus is the light of the world. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11, Paul says this. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11, "Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." He says, reprove them. Friends, if there is an old sinful pattern of thought in us, and we want the light of Jesus Christ to expose that darkness, we need an attitude of humility, coming before Almighty God in humbleness. And I want to say this, and if we're not willing to do that, that is the first stronghold that we need to tear down. It's the first stronghold that we need to tear down because it is a stronghold of pride. And pride keeps people from seeing that they are trapped in demonic darkness. And it may seem sometimes like we just can't connect with God. As one person once said, I've been praying and praying and praying, and it seems like God is not even hearing my prayers. In James chapter 4, verse 6, and we also find that in the book of Proverbs, when there's sin in a person's life, God will not hear until we repent. Until we have that spirit of humility in us. James chapter 4, verse 6, it says, God resists the proud. What does that tell us? To me, I look at that, and when I resist something, I don't allow that to come close to me. And he says, he resists the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Verse 7 says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. This is a very important principle that we should never forget. When it says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. In the power of Jesus' name, we can do that. Not in our own strength, but in the name of Jesus, because he overcame the enemy. And then it says, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your heart, ye double-minded. And so as I was studying for this morning service, I thought about that, a life of separation. We need to either we're going to walk in the light or we're going to walk in the darkness, and we need to draw that line. Am I going to allow the strong man to bring me down so that he can do with me what he wants? Or am I going to stand my ground in the authority of the name of Jesus and resist him? And it says, and he will flee from us. You and I have power accessible to us, available to us, and we can access that power by prayer in the name of Jesus. Friends, let's not stick our head in the sand and say this isn't, and pretend it's not real. It is real. The sacrifice of Jesus Christ is a shelter of grace, enabling us to see our own needs and deal with them. And only then will you and I experience peace in our hearts. That, friends, is the foundation of Christ's mission. That was the only reason Jesus came to this world, to free us from that bondage. He was here for 33 years, and the last 3 years in ministry. And that's the basis of our faith. And today, his invitation still is out there. It still remains the same in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17, when Paul says, wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing. And then listen what he says, and there's a promise with this. And he says, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. That's where we want to be. That's who we want to belong to. That Jesus, or that God will be our father, and that we will be his sons and daughters. What we can see here is separation always brings blessing. Standing right in the eyes of God always is rewarding on earth already, and how much more will it be when we enter into that holy land? God Almighty has created you and me with a desire in us to have a sense of belonging. And so we must ask the questions, to who do I want to belong? Like, where do I want to be? And we all have a choice to make. I do, and so do you. And each one that is listening today. But in verse 15 of 2 Corinthians chapter 6, it says, "And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel?" This world and the culture that we live in has great influences. And our flesh has no problem accepting them. And so we need to draw that line. We need to separate ourselves. And it's hard to stand out and not go along with the crowd. Sometimes we just feel awkward doing that. But I think about that song that we sang this morning. Have thine own way, Lord. You know, that's what God Almighty would have us do. And I trust that is the heart and prayer of each one within the sound of this message this morning. That we would be able to just echo those words, have thine own way, Lord. In the morning when I wake up and I open my eyes, and that would be, you know, my desire, that the Lord would have his way. And it may cause us some grief. It could very well, because Jesus says in this world we're going to have trouble. And I want to say this. Fear so often is that big mountain standing in front of us. Fear of what will people think, or how will people respond if we are going to tell the world about Jesus. But I want to encourage us with Paul's message in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. And we know that Paul was preparing Timothy for ministry, and Paul could speak about experiences because he'd been through it all. I mean, he'd been stoned and dragged out of the city, and he got up, he walked back, and he preached the word. And he says to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, "As a young pastor, he said, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God." We might think about Timothy as a young pastor receiving a message like this. And so how would he take it? Would he take it as a word of encouragement, or would it just cause him to shiver and to shrink and his flesh to record, thinking that because Paul faced all of these things for the sake of the gospel, why would he be different? Why would he not be the next in line? And I want to encourage you in closing this morning, all of those who have tuned in, let's not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's live that life of separation. Paul said to the Corinthians, come out from among them. And I want to challenge us this morning as we move into the day and into the week. Let's try to make a point of that. Draw from the crowd. Move ourselves away. And when we're there, let's let our light shine for Jesus Christ. And it always has a blessing, and it always has a promise. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, or sorry, 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1, I want to just close with this verse. And it gives us a promise, and he says this way, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, and he is talking to the Corinthian church, and that's the way he's got that in his letter, a word of encouragement. And he says, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. And may that be our desire as we move on, as we have opportunity to witness for Jesus Christ. May our life demonstrate that we have been risen again with Jesus Christ, that we have crucified the flesh. And Paul tells us that it's going to be difficult. We're going to face some hard times because of the choice that we make. But let's remember, we're just here for a time, a season, and it's all over and it's so short. And the psalmist says our life is like the breath of a hand. And we realize that. Time flies by so quickly. And then comes eternity. And the Bible says we're going to reap what we sow. And it is my desire, my prayer for each one, that we would reap the blessings and the promises that God has left for us. And that we would separate ourselves, that we would be a congregation of brothers and sisters in the Lord that would shine for Jesus Christ. We have opportunity to do that. We have been given power to do that, and the Apostle Peter talks about that, to live a life of holiness and godliness in the eyes of Almighty God. I want to encourage us, let's just tap into that source, that strength. And God's blessings will rest on us. Let us close with a word of prayer. Our gracious God, Father in heaven, in closing this morning, we thank you for your word, even though it sometimes pricks in our heart. And Lord, if there is anyone here this morning that feels awkward following your footsteps, Lord, we pray that person, whoever it may just sense a calm of peace and joy come over his soul when we follow faithfully, live obedient lives, and are not ashamed of who we are in Christ Jesus. We know that Paul addresses some heart issues for him as a leader. And it was his heart, Lord, to to draw them back onto the path of righteousness. But how they would receive it, he did not know, Father. But we know that when we tap into that source that you have left us, the power of the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who came to cleanse us and to cleanse us and to pronounce us a holy temple, Lord, we thank you that we can go in that power, in the authority of your written word. And Father, this morning I pray for each one, as well as myself within the sound of this voice, Lord God, that we would be open, that we would be willing to be cleansed, purified, and that we would live a life of separation. A life of separation from this ungodly culture. But that we would encourage each other as brothers and sisters as we walk together, as we walk in the light, and we need to do that. And Father, we just pray that your will might be done. Have your own way, Lord. Have your own way. Father, I thank you for the worship team that has brought the music this morning, and may it continue to minister to our hearts, Father. In the name of Jesus, we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. Come to the close of the service this morning. I want to leave you with the benediction. Out of 2 Thessalonians 2:16 and 17. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and God, even our Father, which hath loved us, and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts, and establish you in every good word and work. Amen. You may now go in peace with the Lord. God be with you till we meet again.